In the Bible class hour, I spoke of how that the good news, in that case, how the gospel has affected the lives of men and women and young people in the Pacific Islands, and how that it is like cold water to a weary stranger. But there is another passage that was read during the Bible class hour that also contains the same idea in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news. And that is a great statement in this book that was written by Isaiah, and I often think of it being the gospel of the Old Testament. Notice here that it says that it is the good news that is proclaimed. And what I want to do is take the passage of this morning, and I would like to take what it says and how it brings good, it brings like cold water to a weary stranger. And why it does that. Number one, because it brings peace. Number two, because the good news brings good things. Thirdly, is because it brings salvation. And fourthly, because we proclaim that our God reigns. When you and I take the good news, we bring the good news to others. We bring to them, and if you're visiting this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want to say to you this morning that we don't have anything to offer but good news. And in offering that good news, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 6 that we bring to you the Prince of Peace. When you and I take the gospel, the good news into our lives, we take the Prince of Peace into our lives. It does not surprise me that Paul would say in Galatians 2 and 20, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. When you and I accept the gospel, the good news, we accept the Prince of Peace and all that goes with it. In Isaiah 6 and verse 15, once we have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, then we have our feet shod with the preparation, and watch this, of the gospel of peace. We do not carry a gospel that is negative or discouraging. We do not carry a gospel of trouble, but rather we carry the gospel of peace. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15, Paul would say, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I want to say again that we bring this gospel of peace. And in bringing this gospel of peace, we bring a peace that is so unique. In Romans 14 and verse number 17, Romans 14 and verse 17, Paul would say that when we obey the gospel and we accept the Prince of Peace and we are ready to go and share that gospel or that good news with others, that it is a gospel that is full of good news. And it allows us to obey that gospel. And we become members of the kingdom of God and of peace. You know, brethren, I think in congregations across the land and around the world, that we as members should be loving and kind and encouraging and prayerful of our elders and the leadership so that we may have a kingdom that is filled with peace. Because what we have to offer is the gospel of peace, the Prince of Peace. And as we go and carry the good news, it will be like cold water to a weary stranger. And we offer them a place that they may have a place of safety and a place that will be filled with peace. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, Paul says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ," or through Christ Jesus. And so when we hear the gospel and we obey the gospel, we accept the Prince of Peace. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we carry that glad tidings. We carry that good news that people may become members of the kingdom of God, the church, that they may enjoy the peace. And it is this peace that passes all understanding. Now, secondly, when we carry the good news, we carry that good news, we carry a news that will bring to others and to ourselves, as we ourselves have obeyed the gospel, it will carry to them a good news that will bring good things to their lives. You know, no matter what we face in life, all the trials and tribulations and all the obstacles that are put before us in this life, all those things, beyond all those things, are the good things that we enjoy as we are members of the kingdom of God and we have the Prince of Peace in our life. We enjoy all these good things. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 3, Paul would say that we have all spiritual blessings in this Prince of Peace, in this kingdom, as it were, this kingdom of peace and the heavenly places in Christ. You know, no matter what we face in life, take the most discouraging thing that you have already faced yourself or in your family or in life, and know that there may be other things that will even be more discouraging. Could be. And it is because we are in the Prince of Peace that we have all these spiritual blessings. You know, all of us are going to face things. Now, I know all of you young people that you're thinking, man, life is just so great and there are no trials and tribulations. But you know, that's not true, is it? And probably you young people, you probably already recognize that because you may have friends or people that you know that they are battling cancer even at a very young age. But you know what? Even in spite of that, we have every spiritual blessing in the Prince of Peace. In Romans 10 and verse number 15, again, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace." And listen to this, "who bring glad tidings of good things." You know, we don't preach a gospel that is negative. We do not preach a gospel that is distracting in some way. We don't preach a gospel that makes us feel terrible and downtrodden. Even when we need to hear certain things about the gospel, it has a way of lifting us up and pressing on to be faithful to the Lord. Truly, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is of good things. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Hebrew writer will write, "But Christ came as a high priest." And you know, with the coming of Jesus as the high priest, there came those things of the gospel that would be good things to come. You know, I'm glad that we're not living under that old covenant. And I remember that as we would have our morning devotion many years ago in Fiji, Mary and I still have it in Maria, a daily devotion, but we would have it every morning when all of our children were still at home. And we were reading how that when a child was disobedient to his parent under the old covenant, many times they were stoned to death on the spot. Aren't you glad, young people? Aren't you glad that that doesn't happen today? Now, we're not being lenient, believe me, because I did not grow up with a lenient mother and father. But I'm glad that under the gospel, we're not zapped and taken out of the way instantly when we make a mistake. But if we're faithful and we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ just continually cleanses us of our sins and shortcomings. You know, I'm glad we're not under that old covenant. Because under that old covenant, like I said, you make one mistake and you may have no future at all. And so the New Testament, the new covenant, was certainly good news of good things to come. In Hebrews chapter 10, again, the Hebrew writer would reflect upon this, and the Hebrew writer would say, for the law was only a shadow. You know, the shadow is not the real thing. I'm looking down at my shadow. The shadow is not the real thing. The old covenant was not the real, permanent, everlasting covenant. And it did not always bring the best things to Israel, as we've already seen. But with the coming of Jesus Christ and the changing of the covenant brought good news of good things to come. You know, sometimes when we face things in life, my dad, who is 90 years of age, still full of wisdom, I love being with him and just getting him to talk. He can just say so much in a few words, and I love listening to him and being with him. And he would say, son, if you don't have any problems today, just look around the corner. They're coming. Now, that's from a man that's 90 years of age and has been able to walk in this life and experience many things. But I've said to Dad, Dad, what about it? Should we be discouraged? Oh, no, we just keep digging it, as he calls it. He says, we just keep on keeping on until we cannot keep on any longer. Now, isn't it that the positive side? That no matter what we face, we just keep on keeping on until His time is no more. You know, you may not have faced the worst thing in life that you will maybe face. But with Jesus Christ being your Prince of Peace and you being in the kingdom of God, which is really a kingdom of peace, and where all spiritual blessings are, and where there's nothing but good things. You know, sometimes as Mary and I would reflect, my wife and I would reflect on things that our Steve were going through. And we would know that he's going through tragedy in his life in many ways. I'm amazed that Mary would always come back and see something good that was coming out of it. Isn't that amazing? And isn't that our mirror in life the way we should be? Isn't that the way we should be able to see it? We should not just dwell on those things that we're going through right at that moment, but rather we should look beyond. What if Joseph had just thought about, I'm in this stinking hot pit right now. But Joseph looked beyond. What about Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den? What if he had just been thinking about, I'm in this stinking lion's den with all these stinking lions and they're going to tear me apart any moment? But not Daniel. He looked beyond that. And you know, no matter what you and I face in life, you and I need to look beyond and see all the good things. What about Job? Isn't he a great example?
Somebody said, don't bring him up. I don't want to hear about Job. Well, let me tell you, there are people like Job. And yesterday flying down, I was thinking about Mary and I thought about her and I thought, you know, sometimes Job kind of got down because he didn't have the right kind of friends. Am I right? Am I right? He kind of got down because we don't need friends like Job had. And they could be negative and down on Job and down on God or anything about God. But you know, Job would always catch himself and he would bring himself back to the God of heaven. And he was blessed more in the end than in the beginning. When we go through things in life, we should always see through those things to the good things in life. And then thirdly, when we bring the good news, and when we enjoy the good news ourselves, we bring and take to others the good news of salvation. All of this is a reflection of Isaiah chapter 52 and 7. You know, I'm always thrilled. I'm so thankful to God to be able to be a servant of the Lord and to take the good news with others. Do you know? It changes the lives of others because it brings salvation to them. You know, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ this morning, and you are in our midst, we're so thankful you're here. You're our honored guest, and you don't need to look any farther. You found the Church of Peace right here and all the good things about it and the Prince of Peace. And you'll find salvation right here in this place. Because, you know, when we hear that Prince of Peace and we have the peace that passeth all understanding, and we have that salvation that comes through the good news. Boy, I mean, we've got everything we need in life to face life. In Acts chapter 16, when Luke and Paul and those following along with them, working for the Lord, carrying the gospel, preaching the gospel in Philippi, there's this young lady. Boy, I'd have zapped her in a hurry. She was annoying. I mean, you know, Paul had that miraculous gift. And he could have taken her out of the way, but he saw more than that in this young lady. But you know, God used her to remind the people of Philippi that these are the men that are bringing the way of salvation to us. I've often wondered over and over again, was she one of the ones that obeyed that salvation? You know, when we carry the good news, it's like cold water to a weary stranger. We bring and we take to them that gospel of salvation. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul would say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, he's not saying that we ought to be, you know, arrogant with it. We ought to be mean-spirited with it. It just means that we ought not to be timid in sharing the good news with others. You know, time and again out in the Pacific, taking the gospel to country after country and city or town or village, I've had people to say, "Well, you know, Brother Robert, we met you a while back. And why didn't you tell us this earlier?" And boy, I've thought so many times, I wished I would have done that. And I'm glad, though, that I did it when I did it. Paul would say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Notice this, "For it is the power." The gospel is not in the man. It's not in the woman, but it's in the gospel. Paul would say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation." The gospel is so powerful, it can take the most vile and evil person and turn their lives completely around. Time and again, I've witnessed this in the Pacific. I've been able to experience this over and over and over again. A man drinking, a man on drugs, a man beating his wife. And he hears the gospel. He accepts the Prince of Peace as King and Lord. He enjoys all the good things of the gospel. He has the peace that passes all understanding. And it just changes his life altogether.
Isn't that wonderful? What the good news, the gospel, can do. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10, Paul would say, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, and you have a desire to make a change in your life, you can do it this morning. You can put on the Prince of Peace in your life. You can enjoy all the spiritual blessings in Christ, all the good things, and have the peace that passes all understanding. And you can enjoy that salvation. In Galatians 3 and 27, Paul would say, "For as many of you as have put on Christ in baptism." Yes, you can put Him on in baptism this morning. You can put Him on and be that new person. And with that, if you will stay faithful to the Lord, will be eternal glory. You see, we bring to you a good news that is like cold water to a weary stranger. And then Isaiah would say in Isaiah 52 and in verse 7 that we bring the good news that our God reigns. You know, we don't say this enough, do we? We don't think on this terminology enough today. You know, I'm very concerned about our government. But I'm not going for a minute to tell you how to vote, because it really don't matter to me one way or the other too much, probably. I've got a preference. I've got a way that I think's the best way. You said, you heard that I said I. But you know what? It doesn't matter who is in government. It don't matter who's in government, how I'm going to live and what I'm going to do and how that I'm going to enjoy all the good things in Christ. Oh, it may be easier. It may be better. But you know, brethren and friends, I don't know how that anyone could live in worse times than the first century living under that dictatorship of the Roman government. Sometimes they didn't know really who was the emperor, because the time the message would spread, they'd already assassinated that one and put another one in. You know what I'm saying? So those were terrible times. People that claimed the name of Jesus Christ died for their faith in the Prince of Peace. But that didn't matter, because they knew where their heavenly home was. They had obeyed the gospel. They had accepted the Prince of Peace as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they knew that He was sitting on His throne and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, I remember the first coup that we had in Fiji. Fiji's always going to be first in the Pacific, most things. And we had the first coup. And I happened to be there. We were moved to American Samoa. I was back there on a trip. Mary and the family were about to come. And I'm saying, "Hold up, don't come. It's locked down right now for a few days at least, or weeks." And the brethren wanted to meet with me. And they said, "Robert, what are we going to do?" I said, "What we've always been doing. What we've always been doing. We're not going to change anything. Why should we? Because hasn't different elected governments been in power, one government or the other?" "Oh, yes. Well, it's just changed a little bit differently this time. And it'll come back okay. Oh, it may not be the best." Brethren, one of the things that Christians realize is that God is reigning on His throne. No matter what we face, no matter what we do in life, we know that our God reigns. This is the message over and over again of the Old Testament and even of the New Testament. In Psalms 93 and 1, "Our Lord reigns. He is clothed in all of His majesty." Brethren, I don't need to know anything else. Don't really matter to me. Because I've got a more important work in life to do. Oh, I'm going to vote. Oh, I've got my preferences. And it may be totally different than anybody else. And Mary and I went back and together we've talked about it and reevaluated ourselves. And sometimes we take drastic decisions for ourselves, and and just go a clean slate again. But you know one thing I always tell Mary? Let's just do the best we can with what we know and know that our God reigns. Notice in Psalms 97 and verse 1, the Lord again reigns. Let the earth rejoice. And that means Palm Beach Lakes, doesn't it? But it also says, and the islands, you know I had to throw that in. And let the islands, let them know that He reigns. Well, this includes the islands. It includes the very tiny islands that we can't even right now get the gospel into, like Tokelau and Pitcairn Island. One of these days I'm going to put Dan McLeod. Now, Lou Ann, I don't really mean this, unless you want me to. But I'm going to put him on a boat going to Pitcairn Island. And he may have to stay 1 year, 2 years, so the next cargo boat comes along. But nevertheless, he says, let the islands be glad. Let Palm Beach Lakes be glad. And you know, you can be glad this morning if you're here and you're not a Christian. Now, we that are Christians and not perfect, but Christians, and we're faithful to the Lord and we're serving the Lord, we're so happy. We are so happy that we just can't keep it contained. We're happy. We're glad. We rejoice because our Lord reigns. In 2 Timothy 2 and 12, Paul writing to this young Christian man that's probably already gone through a lifetime of experiences as a young man. He says, if we endure, if we're able to face life, and face it head on, knowing that we have the Prince of Peace in our lives. Knowing this, that we've got all spiritual blessings, all good things in life. And that our God reigns. We're going to someday reign with Him. And if we deny Him, it's not good news, and we don't want to talk about that this morning. I love 2 Kings 7. Because there is an interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 7. And the story was the king of Syria was going to come down and invade the land of Israel. He put a siege around Samaria. And you know the smartest people in that city are these lepers, right? I mean, that's something. Boy, they had a mind, still had a mind for themselves. Leprosy is not a good thing. And no one wanted to associate with a leper. But these four men said, if we stay in this city, they're at the gate, they're in a good position, get out of this place. Because the king of Syria had already put that siege around Samaria. And so they said, if we stay here, we're going to die. It's better to go to the camp of the Syrians, how cruel they are, how mean they are, and if we die, we've not lost anything. We stay here, we're going to die. But if we go to them and they happen to spare our lives, maybe they'll give us something to eat. Well, you know the story, you older Bible students and great teachers. They went to the camp, and in the night, God had done a miracle, and that camp was empty. It was empty. No one of the warriors were there. No one was there. You know what they did? What all of us would do. They filled their pockets with all the valuable things. They filled their stomach with everything that they could find to eat. But one of them thought about his brethren. And he said, brethren, this is not right. This is not right. That today that we stay quiet and hold our peace and our beloved brethren are starving to death. They do it. They were already eating their babies. And they knew it. They said, it is not right that we hold our peace. It is not right that today we should remain silent. While you and I have the good news, you and I should not remain silent. But we ought to, wherever we go and whatever we do, we ought to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Again, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, in 33 A.D. Why, you can become one by believing that He's the Son of God, the Prince of Life. And repenting of your sins, and by saying, I believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by being buried with Him in baptism. You can make a change in your life. And then you can have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and go share it with others. But maybe you're here this morning. And maybe you just come to church. You bring your Bible. We'll give you a star for that. And you do it every week. You come every Sunday morning. And I'm sure this congregation will have all of you back who is physically and mentally able to be back tonight. And if you're not, then let someone know, and they'll send someone to collect you. But what about we that have had our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are we really taking it, or are we staying quiet? Maybe we need to repent sometimes and make a drastic, bold change in our lives. If you need to this morning, will you not come this morning while together we stand and sing?